District.
Today is Thursday, August 20th, 2015, and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Question. Is Martha going to be here?
Yeah.
She'll run late.
Run a little late.
Okay. Roll call of officer, board members. Treasurer Hernandez.
Here.
Vice Chair Ramos.
Here.
Board member Dolores.
Present.
And say my dad is going to be a little late.
She should. Tell me she's coming.
Okay. Certification. Certification that the agenda was posted at least 72 hours before the meeting at Shaw Market, Biola Community Center, and Biola Post Office, and was signed by Secretary to the Board, Elaine Cervantes, was acknowledged to the President as being correct.
Yes.
We don't post it at Best Market anymore?
No, we go to Shaw Market.
Agenda approval, additions and deletings. Item 2, adoption of the agenda, regular meeting, August 20th, 2015. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion we adopt the amended agenda dated Thursday, August 20th.
Okay. Do hear a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Item 3, request to address the board. Yes.
I'd like to address the board on a couple of items, if I may.
You may.
One of the things that I noticed on your agenda, I noticed that you have some public hearings indicated in there, but as a retired public servant, I'm always interested in the public's interest and in making sure that we are addressing the public's interest. And one of the things on public hearings, they should be set aside on your agenda so that the public knows that you're going to have a public hearing. And usually a time is set as to when the public hearing is to be opened. And it should also be addressed by being posted in your community or in the newspaper. Now, maybe the rules have changed, but this is how it's usually done. Does anybody have a comment on that? Has it changed, or is this just the way you do it?
When you post an agenda and it says that there's a public hearing on the agenda, that meets the letter and spirit of the law.
Okay. But aren't you also supposed to notify the public in advance that you're... I noticed that you did post your agenda, so it is
right
there. But
right.
Don't you also notice that there is a time? Don't you have to have a time that you open it and close it, etc.?
We note that in the minutes. We okay. note that the meeting starts at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And so
but
that,
what I'm
you know,
getting at, kind of, it would make it a little bit easier for the public to understand if you have that out as a separate agenda item.
Huh. I will check on make sure we're following, doing everything appropriately.
Okay. It's just that it would be handy.
Sure.
And the other thing I noticed that you have on here is a, unless it's been changed, because I didn't look at the amendment, is the contribution to the Raisin Day, is it still on the agenda?
It is.
It's still on.
Item H.
Okay. I just like to comment on that. Being a member of the community, I'm not in agreement with the amounts that we have been providing to this organization each year. And I think that probably a token amount of probably $300 would be acceptable. But since this organization is in need of their funding, I don't think it's appropriate to be using public funds for that. And I don't think the community really would support that.
You know,
I'm talking about the whole community, yeah. I'm not talking just about
when Mr. Blum was here, our attorney.
Pardon me?
When we had the attorney, Mr. Blum, here.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, I brought up that question because we had never donated public monies. I brought it up And he said as long as the community benefited from that X amount of dollar, there was no problem there. Like, if you donated 500 or 1,000 or whatever, and it went for the benefit of this community, like security or something like that, there was no problem. That's what Mr. Blum said. That was 2 years ago.
And it goes towards the beautification of the community.
No, maybe it's changed.
The item that's on the agenda tonight is we're accepting a donation from the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, you're accepting. You're not giving.
Right. We're not giving. We're getting.
Okay.
This chamber is going to give us $5,000.
Okay. That's,
for
that's better, yeah.
Community beautification.
Good.
But I believe in the past we have.
We've donated.
As an agency, yeah. Donated some money to the chamber.
Right.
Going the other way.
That was only under Mr. Blum's record. I mean, he said it was okay because I brought that up.
Yeah.
Because this board had never, you know, when I sat on it years ago, we had never donated anything as far as money. Mm-hmm. And he said as long as it benefited the community as a whole,
okay.
It was okay. That's what he said.
Yeah.
The money that you're talking about was donated to the Chamber of Commerce. From the monies we raised from the
vineyard.
From the vineyard.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So that wasn't public money. That was money that.
Well, it's still public money.
But it's not coming from the fees that we're charging.
Right.
For.
Right.
Well,
yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Mr. Montes, president of Vital Chamber of Commerce. We have every year that you've donated, we earmarked that money for security. So that was one of the loopholes, or call it a loophole, but that was one of the ways to be able to identify that those monies were used to benefit the community. It wasn't monies that were just going into the chamber's coffers. There were monies that were utilized to support the security for the event, for the community.
I don't think that was a question of what it was going to be used for. It was just the
Your concern was the amount.
Yeah, the amount.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Constant calendar. Okay, I can't ask for.
It's one motion for those three items.
Yeah, okay.
One Unless motion. Anybody wants to take one of them off.
Item four, constant calendar, approval of all three items on number four.
I make a motion we approve all three items, A, B, and C.
Okay.
I'll
second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Old business, there's nothing there. New business. Item six. A, public hearing for resolution number 08-2015-2 for water waste. Wastewater treatment plant and recycling grant.
6:07, open.
Okay, meeting open at 6:07, public hearing. And it, basically it's just to discuss this, and this is something we've been talking about for months, but we've been earmarked by the state to have apply for a feasibility grant to test whether it's a good idea. To change our wastewater plant to recycle our wastewater.
What happens to the recycled water when it's done?
Well,
who uses it?
Our biggest client is Actagro. They use about 1 million gallons a month. Biola Elementary is their second biggest client. They average about 600,000 gallons a month. And I'm looking at potentially our industrial clients. NutraAg, Polycell, well, Polycell's not very much, and that we would sell recycled water to the school, and Actagro. Actagro still has some concerns about, because their whole product is liquid fertilizer, and it has to pass the standard. Well, our engineer has told us we'd put in a kind of a plant that would filter sewer water and then disinfect it. And he's saying it's almost to the level of being able to drink, but not quite. But it's good enough to irrigate crops. It's good enough to irrigate school lawns and potentially our vines. you know, we could, right now, the only way, we've got those 5 acres of vines, the only way we can get water to them is from Sawwasser's pump or Sawwasser's ditch water. If we were able to use our own recycled water to irrigate those, it'd be a lot better. But all it is a study. One of the concerns I have, and our engineer that we're working with doesn't think it's going to be as big a deal, but we have aerated lagoons, and that's a old-fashioned but really good sewer system. It's been around for a long time. I don't even think they'll let new sewer systems they build them like this. But one of the big advantages of a system like this is it's low maintenance. We get by with our contracted operators for a fairly low amount of labor cost. My worry is that we would have a more cost. When you put in a wastewater recycling plant, it would increase the cost of processing sewer.
Like PG&E, your power?
I don't know that would be the deal. I think I'm more worried about maintenance, that it would take more hours of maintenance to maintain a recycling system. But we have very high sewer rates. We charge our residents almost $44 a month. That's a lot for a community like ours. And so one of my goals would be able to lower our rates.
What's this
event? And if they do the study and we can't lower our rates, it's not as attractive to me if we can't.
Won't be that beneficial for the people of the community,
though. Yeah, I think it has to be beneficial for the community, not just for... Because the attraction is, we could potentially save a couple million gallons a month of groundwater by recycling it. You know, we funnel through, we pump around 10 million gallons a month, and we have about 100,000 gallons of flow into our sewer ponds a day. So the numbers pile up, and if we can recycle that, the big advantage is you're saving groundwater. And that's why the state people really like it. But this resolution is going to go into our application for a plant, the feasibility grant. The feasibility grant alone might be $600,000. You know, see, we would never pay that much money, but they're willing, because of the potential saving of groundwater, they're willing to fund the study to do this. And so this resolution is a requirement of the grant. And so if you approve this tonight, then I'll send it in tomorrow.
Didn't we speak about this last meeting, and you mentioned that Actor Grow was actually not interested in using the...
Good memory.
Water?
I did, and I spoke with them about that yesterday. One of their corporate guys from Arkansas or wherever had reservations, and they said, I just want to know more. They want to make sure that it doesn't mess up their product, because they depend so much on their product. It has to go on crops. And recycled water has to be purified to a certain extent to be eligible to put on. And so they would be interested if we can prove to them that it'll meet that standard.
Now, remember I was telling you about the water giveaway at the sewer plant in Fresno?
Yeah, Fresno City recycles water at their sewer.
They give you 300 gallons. But anyway, my question is, if we sent them some of that water, I mean, granted it's not ours, but it's the same process, send it to Osceola, Arkansas, where the other plant is. I know that for a fact. I'm from there. Anyway, and let them test it and see what they come up with. And then let them tell us if they want the water or not.
Well, I think...
Would it work?
We're not going to wait until it gets that far. You mean test Fresno's water?
Yeah. Let them test it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to be the same process.
If it is the same process, that would make sense.
Yeah. Let them test it.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't it be easier just to ask them, what would their standard be as far as accepting recycled water? I mean, is there a certain guideline that needs to be met?
They're worried about the pH level, and they're worried about the other whatever is in that water.
Well, it's sewer water. Well, you've got to get a lot of stuff out of it. There's solids, and you've got, it's not just the pH. It's other stuff, too.
Eddie.
I was just curious about, you were talking about the feasibility study to find out whether or not it's beneficial to do it or not, right?
Yeah, on both an economic level and a practical level in terms of just the water.
Right. So in other words, you have to go over there and have all the study done and all that, and have that information to see if you even have a product.
See, if then we'd need to go
then
for a grant.
Then we would go to these people and say, this is a product we have. You know, is this something that we want to do?
The feasibility study, part of the feasibility study would be doing exactly that. Having, you know, the water that we were going to sell to Actagro, sell water back to them, they would have to know, approve it. That would happen during the study. Right. All these questions would be answered during the study.
And on the... You also have a conservation in.
Correct.
That whole thing where...
Correct.
You know, if you're not using the groundwater, well, then it's staying there, and that's what our big problem is right now.
Correct.
Groundwater replenishing it, so that's another...
That's why they tapped us. That's why they're willing to pay a lot of money to have a study for us, because it's a chance to save a couple million gallons a month of groundwater.
So
it's... He's a poster child.
What is the whole question right now on that resolution? Whether or not you want to move forward with it?
Yes. That for us to actually apply to the grant, we have to show that our board passed a resolution that we support the idea of the study.
And if they didn't, well, they would move on to someone else who more than likely would
yes.
want to do it.
Yes.
And the feasibility study, that's the grant dollar amount. But then there's to be another grant to actually implement afterwards?
Yes.
So there's really no downside in doing the feasibility study?
Correct. Yeah, this will not cost the district anything. Other than some time. So my recommendation is that we approve it, but we have to close the hearing first. But is there any more questions?
Hello? With UDRAG and their second phase of production, isn't that...
That would be part of the...
Even bigger, a gallon amount?
I don't think they're bigger than Actagro.
Well, they're water-based. It's liquid fertilizer, so their production would be water, and I think 85% of what they produce is a water-based product. So, again,
well, my initial conversations with the Actagro or the Nutrag people is that it wasn't very much, but maybe I didn't push them into where they're going. The bigger deal is 3 to 5 years out, Actagro wants to double. So they're using 1 million now. They want to be using 2 million a month. In 5 years.
Well, if this works, that would be feasible for them, then.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It would save a lot of...
Yes. And it would take water. 3 to 5 years for this to get done. This is not something that happens fast.
2.5 million gallons of water.
No.
That's just them.
I know.
We throw them in school.
It's huge.
Yeah.
No, have we got the capacity to generate that much water for these our Actagro and... Nutrag and the school and...
Do we have the capacity?
Yeah.
We do.
To generate that much water.
We do. Our proximity to the San Joaquin River saves our bacon, quite frankly. Because...
So in other words, we don't have to...
Our groundwater is better than in a lot of other places in terms of its depth.
And you want to keep it that way?
We'd like to keep it that way.
Yes, sir.
And I guess the question would be, for how long?
That's a really good... That is the question.
Or as long as we can.
Because, say, when they get on board, then all of a sudden the water table is now down just because of usage, and now you don't have a mechanism to supply the water.
Right. So, I mean, it's all... I mean, water's the big question for everybody. we're hurting.
Well,
aren't they expecting a big El Nino this year?
Yeah, but I don't think we can, we're always going to be hurting, I think, even with...
You know, the thing about it is, you know, like, the what's his name, Campos is putting it, put that big pump in. There's another one over on Shields Avenue, and I mean, there's quite a few of them around here. I mean, they're going to suck up a lot of water. Tell what you look at.
If you historically look at, you know, the bigger people who have gone into areas where people have had water all the time, no problem. Then they come in and they start putting their big deep wells and this and that. And the people within that, if Clovis was one of them, you know, those people, everything, they lost, you know, all their water.
Well, what did the Ranchos?
So we're not going to be using our own water that we use for the, you're talking about the sewer recycling? We're not using, we're going to be using our own water, right? So we're not going to have to take water from the ground, right?
No. We're still going to need to take water from the ground.
We're still going to take...
Oh, is that going to be a sponge?
Just less. This would allow us to take less water out of the ground.
Or with?
In the future, yeah. See, in essence, what would happen is that right now, we pump like 10 million gallons a month out of the ground. A lot of it goes to the 1,800 people that live in Biola, because it's mostly residential. They flush it down, it goes down their sinks and drains and showers, and it goes out to Howard Avenue. Okay. If that 10 million that's pumped, if we can pump 8 million, and use some of the other 8 to recycle and sell to Actigro, NewTrag, we're way better off. You know, 5 years from now, instead of pumping out 10 million gallons a month, we might be pumping 7. And over time, that really adds up. So anyway, it's a big deal that we got. Part of what, the impression I got is that some of the pretty major players, Betsy Lichty, who's the local director of the State Water Board group, she likes us. And she says she lobbied for us with the guys in Sacramento for this project. She said, those guys need this. You need to approve it. So
I think it's a great idea. The only reason why I was opposed to the recycling treatment plant was because you had mentioned Actigro was not for it. They were not, they didn't want, you know, to use the recycled water, but I think it should be worth a try.
We can do it.
Yeah.
Since it's not going to cost us anything extra, right? Because they're giving us the money for the recycling.
They would, part of the, they would pay for the study.
Yeah.
And then they would, we would, after the study, we would use the information in the study to apply for the implementation grant,
okay,
which would be pretty big, like a couple million bucks.
Do you want to close the?
So the next step would be to close the hearing if we're
all there. Right.
6:23.
Okay. You want a motion?
Yeah, motion to close hearing.
Make a motion we close the hearing at 6:23.
Do I have a second?
Second it.
Those opposed? All right.
And then we just need a motion and a second and a vote.
I'll make a motion to accept the resolution 08-2015. Wastewater treatment plant.
I make a motion that we approve resolution number 08-2015-2, wastewater treatment plant recycling grant.
You have a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Okay, what's next?
Citizens on patrol.
Is that Anthony?
It is.
All right, Tony, you're on, buddy.
I don't know if that's going to be just me,
No. Anthony and I have been talking about this for several months as citizens on patrol. And if you recall, we had the National Night Out a couple weeks ago. And Anthony, at my request, asked the couple from Sunnyside to come visit us. And so I had some quality time visiting with
Frank and
Gaylene.
They do this?
They do this. They're the leaders of the Sunnyside area. Now, Sunnyside has about 10 square miles, so it's a lot bigger than us. But in essence, what they do is they recruit volunteers to be involved in, it's kind of like an enhanced neighborhood watch, basically. And so the idea is we recruit volunteers. Those volunteers would sign up and with the Fresno Sheriff's Office, and they have to be screened by the Fresno Sheriff's Office. Once they're screened, there's a little bit of training, and then they give you stuff. Basically, they supply a radio.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I'll pass on that. But they have these magnetic Fresno Sheriff's Office signs that go on your cars. And in essence, they try to schedule it so that there's one volunteer schedule.
Okay.
For all signs. Back in the day, Viola had persistence.
So apparently we've done this before in the past.
Work.
And it faded.
It still works.
Show them behind you. I try to look.
Oh, yeah. To the chair. Yeah, it still
works. And
so, it still works. Control
numbers. Yeah, show those guys.
The back one will look.
So, in essence, you know, they schedule it, so there's one person scheduled, and every 24-hour period, 2 hours. That person cruises around Biola and is dialed right into the sheriff's office. Well,
right there on the window.
On that door, the ruler.
Okay.
But
one of the things that the sheriff's office really depends on is data. They want people who have law enforcement issues to call them and make reports on things. And they take those reports and it filters into this crime data management software system, and they track every report, even if it's somebody stole a bike off somebody's lawn, you know. And it allows them to look for trends and to deploy their people better and more effectively. But this, having people in the community who will volunteer to be partners with the sheriff's office, it can be really powerful in creating a more positive community.
How about when they need backup? Yeah.
Well, we don't want anybody going all George Zimmerman on it. You know, this is
for sure. That is,
this is,
you can't carry a gun.
You call your friends with guns.
That right there is the biggest thing. Right there. Citizens on patrol is exactly the citizens, non-sworn people, non-sworn citizens. They do not get involved. They do not approach. They do not confront any suspects at all, of any crime, in any sort at all. That is the whole idea. They need to protect themselves and the people around them as well. The biggest thing is passing backgrounds. Of course, we will do that. They also get call signs. We assign them call signs through our dispatch comm center.
You mean like Maverick or Goose?
Maybe Maverick or whatever. But they have to be distinguishable call signs to where when the deputy sees them on their MDTs, their computers, they know that they're citizens on patrol. Riverdale has a citizens on patrol program. Sunnyside does as well. Frank and Gaheen Cardinazian help set up the one in Riverdale. And they are on board and they're just ecstatic.
How many people do they have?
How many people do they have?
Yeah.
Sunnyside, you know what? Let me introduce my partner here, for those of you who don't know. You might remember from National Night Out, Tony Messers. Now, you might know. Do you remember how many people, more or less, are doing that? Sunnyside, yeah. Is that 10? You have any idea?
Okay. I think she told me there are around 10.
At least.
And
at least 10, yes.
Kermit has citizens on patrol as well.
Yes, they do. And these, and Frankie Gang, they go everywhere. They go throughout the whole county, Fresno County, and they promote. They will come out to train somebody, or they can meet that one person from the group, to train them on what to do every step of the way. And that person will go and train the rest. When they pass backgrounds, I mentioned radios. We do not get radios.
No.
We do not get radios. The main purpose of that is, no offense to them, but we don't want them tripping on the radio when they're in emergency traffic. So what they will have to do is use their cell phones if they have a cell phone, which most people do now nowadays. They have a cell phone. So they'll use their cell phone to call into traffic. They'll use their cell phone to log on, and they'll use their cell phone to log off as well. They can walk if they wish, if the weather permits. They can do that. They can go around by foot, walking around. And in a small community like this, it's actually it's actually feasible.
Doable.
Yeah, it's very feasible. Or they can drive their own personal vehicles, and they can use the signs. They can put the signs on the doors. Twos. They come in, they have to work in twos.
Oh.
They have to work in twos. Not one person at a time. Of course, something will happen to one of them, the other person can help out, call in. That's one of the biggest things.
So if there were, let's say, 12 people who volunteered, and they always had to go in twos, that means that every 6 days, every 7 days, you'd be up. It would be your turn to be back.
Right, if you want. Or okay. Yes,
they is can that do normally it, how it works?
Yes. However they want to do it. I mean, they can set their time and schedule. You can work with
or
them.
Or you can say, I'll take these 4 days.
Yeah.
And somebody else takes the next four.
And two people or two, a pair of a unit of two can do 2 hours, and then another can do 2 hours, and then another 2 hours. Maybe make around six. I would say, and I'm sure most of you will probably agree with me, a lot of the action or crime occurs during the evening in this community. Evening, nighttime hours, right? That's when it gets a little bit more active. So I would say maybe the swing shift is one of the best times they get to come out.
And talk about the invitation to the shift change meetings, the briefings.
Oh, yes. They're more than welcome to come over to meet the deputies in person and to join us at our briefings. They can come out, all of them can come over to meet the deputies, to meet the sergeants, to meet everybody.
In San Joaquin?
In San Joaquin. That would be over in San Joaquin. And our briefing starts at 4 p.m., the swing shift. 7 a.m. is the day shift, and 12 midnight is our graveyard. That will, I think it would give them a little bit more. They want to make a better connection, and put the face with the name, the deputy sees that their call sign on their MDT or hears it over the radio.
Yeah. I think my concern is like myself, say I was to volunteer, I get no service in Bilo. So not having a radio, I mean, in the case of an emergency, I get no service here. So I have to wait till I get to Chateau Fresno before I can talk for 2 minutes.
That's true.
So how does that?
Well, that could be a concern.
You use your partner's phone. You'd be in a pair.
And hopefully your partner has Verizon, AT&T, or stand on each other's shoulders.
So go with the Verizon partner.
Verizon doesn't really work, right? AT&T,
yeah, no,
it
Verizon.
Never worked.
Very bad spots, too.
My concern would be actually, do they have to wear like a badge or something like that?
Yes,
always identify themselves? See, that would be my concern. Is like, I don't want them to know I'm like basically the tattletale.
Yeah, or promoting it on your
because
car.
Because everybody knows where I live and everybody knows where each other lives. Like, I don't want for me to be out of town. Like, I'd feel less comfortable leaving out of town and wondering they're going to try to retaliate. You know what I mean? Right. That would be my concern.
And when they do this, it is part of it's mandatory. They wear their badge, their little name tag badge.
That's what I thought.
It's mandatory. And maybe one of the orange vests as well.
Oh, if you really want to
stand
out.
If they don't want to. I mean, we're throwing this out. Maybe we can modify this, or we can tailor this to their community.
Is that what that sign is? You're supposed to wear that magnet sign on the door or put it on the door?
Yeah.
It has to be that.
Then your truck will be burning.
Then my car is going to get keyed on top of that.
Will you lend us the car?
I'm going to interject something real quick. And everybody can hear back here, okay?
Yes.
Part of you guys here too. So one thing that you have to understand about the CLP program is that you guys are not vigilantes, you're not officers, you're not deputies. You're a concerned citizen that is basically a deterrent. That's it. That's it. People will not target you or key your car or vandalize your car or whatever because they know that the only reason you're there is to watch their back. So you're basically the eyes and the ears of the Sheriff's Department. When I was with Fresno PD, we used to tell people, you're the eyes and the ears of the Fresno Police Department. You know who belongs here. You know who doesn't belong here. If somebody's walking through Biola, and you've never seen them before, should you be concerned?
Sure, yeah.
Possibly. What are they doing? Are they looking through cars? Are they trying to open abandoned building doors? Well, I could come through here. I don't know him from the next guy. But you guys live here. You guys know who belongs, especially because of how small the community is. You know who belongs here. You know who doesn't belong here. So the ID badge, the only reason you have an ID badge is because you come to my house and you tell me, oh, yeah, my sister's patrol. I saw your garage door. I just wanted to let you know. How do I know you're not just some random person? Well, sir, here's my badge with the Fresno County Sheriff.
But I thought you weren't supposed to approach them.
Huh?
I thought you weren't supposed to approach
them. No, 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 no.
If there's a problem.
You drive by a house, okay, and you see the garage door open. It's okay to go knock on the door and say, hey, sir, I want to let you know that your garage door is open. I don't know if you know that or not, but, you know, we don't want anybody walking into your garage. That's okay. But if you see somebody taking stuff in a backpack, then you want to stay away. Use your cell phone if it has a signal. Call the Sheriff's Department.
Flash your phone light on them.
No, you won't do it. And at that point, you are the best witness you can be. Okay? What would be some of the things that you want to look at?
Booze.
You guys watch Hawaii 5-0, right? I mean, I know you guys, some of you guys are as old as I am.
Cop shows.
Huh? What do you look for?
Which one? New one or the old one?
But I'm talking about the new one isn't looking.
What episode?
So what do you look at?
Who?
The person.
What race is he?
The size.
Don't say Chinese, because everybody says Chinese when they're Asian. It could be Oriental, Asian. How tall is he? What is he wearing? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Do they have tattoos? I mean, these are the kinds of things that they're going to teach you. You don't look at that stuff right now because you don't know about it. It's just like you ask me. If you were to ask me, hey, I have this budget. Where should I appropriate this money? I'll be like, I don't know. Well, because I don't do that kind of work. So what we do is we take you in, or the COPs take you in, they teach you all that. And basically, we're just teaching you to be safe. Okay? You don't want to use your vehicle? You don't have to use your vehicle. You can walk. It's not that big. Well, it's not that big. I drove it when we did the National Night Out. Well, I did the whole thing in, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, quick.
On the microphone, calling people out. You don't want to walk? Use a bike. You know, park your car here, take a bike. But like you said, two or more people. And that's just the way it is. If let's say you come out and you're excited, like, oh, I'm ready to come out, and she calls, I can't come out. You can't say, well, she didn't make it, I'm just going to do it. You can't do that. You're going to have to call me off. And as far as the hours are concerned, like you guys were asking Deputy Robles, well, what are the hours? How long? This and that. That is up to the individual citizens on patrol. You're going to have somebody who's basically the director, somebody that's second or two people that are second in control, and you can establish a policy. Hey, you got to give at least 5 hours a week, or you got to give this many hours a week. And it's their responsibility to make sure that they keep that.
I think it's a fantastic program. I just, personally, I'd be a little bit intimidated or scared.
And you've been around. You know how this town works. I mean, I know he's...
I know it goes from date.
I
want
to talk to him again in a year, but I mean...
Yeah.
So
the thing is,
tough.
What we could do, I mean, and you may even consider it, maybe...
Use a van out here, the disguise van.
Right, I can
maybe
do that.
Maybe talk to our lieutenant, say, talk to him about phone cell phone reception. It's possibly negotiable. I mean, it's could we use the radios out here? But they'd have to be trained, and they'd have to be tactful on that radio, so they don't trip over the deputies, and they understand when to say something, you know, when to jump on the radio.
Right.
Question and input. I just want to echo what Dean said. regards to how people feel in a small community when everybody knows everybody, and they it's very transparent if the fact that they you're wearing one of these badges or one of these things. There are going to be some people that it doesn't bother. But I think the biggest population in this community are going to be people that they really care, but they're going to be intimidated for multiple factors. One, retaliation. Two, maybe legal status. Three, maybe they just want the transparency. But I was thinking that it would be equally as beneficiary to actually maybe do some training within the community to teach people how to call anonymously. And I know everybody knows that they can call anonymously, but there's still a great deal of fear because they're going, well, how do I do that? Who's going to know? So if you can educate the population, or the vast majority of the population, or the ones that are willing to show up at a meeting like this, and inform them about the resources that are available, that you can call anonymously, and how critical it is, and how these phone calls are logged, and how they actually dispatch their officers based on volume. I think that's equally as important as this program of people that are willing to
My answer to that
yes.
would be this. You have a community center. It's always centralized.
Right.
I would have the biggest neighborhood watch meeting Biola's ever had. Invite everybody here. I don't know if you guys have access to funds to maybe do a little hot dog like you did last time. But it would be based on neighborhood watch. And at that point, you would teach people. What exactly is neighborhood watch? I mean, I don't know, you guys even have a neighborhood watch in your community? You should. You should have a neighborhood watch. Because not only is that going to help you guys, it's going to help the Citizens on Patrol program flourish. So, I can tell you this much. If I live, what is your name?
Monique.
If I live next door to Monique, right?
I do.
And when I see her, and I say, hi, Monique, and she just looks at me and walks in the house, right? And I see you, your name Reyes. I go, hey Reyes. You go, hey Tony, how's it going, man? Oh, how's it going? Good. You know, how you been? Good, right? If they break into her yard and steal her bike, whatever, and they come to my door, I'm going to say, oh, I don't know, I'm really talking. But if they do it to you, I'll be like, hey man, some dude was in your yard, he was looking through everything. People tend to be more concerned when they know their neighbors. Do you remember the day when your mailman used to come and drop off your mail and he knew you by your first name? He would give you the mail. They won't do that no more. They won't let you touch the mail. You want the mail? You gotta have a key. I still remember my mailman's name. I was 10 years old. Named Lupe. Hey, Lupe. I was, hey, Tony, here's your mail. Okay, thank you. And I went to take it to my parents. Ask them for the mail now, see what happens.
Well, I think that's the thing is that, I mean, literally, he is my neighbor. But we kind of have that going on already. And the thing is, I'm just trying to see it from a different perspective because you're talking about a small community where we have the biggest issue where a lot of parents do not want to speak up, even inside the school, when it's their own children that are, you know, have issues or there's, you know, concerning things going on in their own school, let alone trying to speak up about crime.
Do you know about Pinedale?
No.
Okay. Pinedale is a little bit bigger than your community, maybe, or maybe same size. You should have seen the problems I had in Pinedale. Because Pinedale has nothing but gang, bread. A lot of citizens are they're bred in the gang ways. And their kids are bred in the gang ways. And it's like pulling teeth trying to get neighborhood watch in there. So what I did is I went in there and I said, look, who wants to be part of neighborhood watch? If you want to be part of it, you don't have to be. I go, but if you care about your community, you're going to get involved. And guess how many people showed up? I probably had half the people there. Because there are people that care. But like he said, he made a good point about a lot of the, what's the politically correct way to say it? Paisas, La Raza, they don't trust the police. They think that they're going to get deported. They don't put their money in the banks because they're afraid. I know because I used to take reports. They would get rolled all the time. They go get drunk, and then they take their wallets, and then they're like, hey, why don't you put in the bank? I don't have a bank account. I don't trust banks. I don't trust police. That's why they call the police. So you have to gain their trust.
Yeah.
You have to gain their trust. You know, I know this point.
To kind of touch on that, and he answered in a different way. I've been here since, what, 2009?
A while.
I've been here a while. And I have bled out to come to people in the community. And it's the people that work that are intimidated about Neighborhood Watch, about calling anonymously. I have spit up blood. I have tried hard to get them to come to the school, even to the school. And Ms. Hernandez was actually offering the school library so that we can have a meeting with Neighborhood Watch, we can anonymously, you know, they can address their concerns. It never happened. They never showed up. I think what this program is a possible another avenue to show these people, hey, you can do this. You can remain anonymous. If you can walk in the street, you can drive around in a car in the street and be safe and call it in, then why can't you do it from your home? So if we show them this other model pattern of how to do this, being the eyes and the ears of the community, then they'll probably gain that confidence and they see the productivity and how it's working. That's what I'm excited about it, because I think it's another avenue. It's another way to show them how we do this.
People get really frustrated because they have put themselves out there and then they want to help, they want to participate. A person gets locked up, boom, 24 hours, he's out again. It's like a slap on the hand, and they're like, what are we doing this for? For him to be out in the street again? So they get frustrated that.
That's true.
You know, how do you deal with that? So the trust level there.
You're talking about things that are out of our control, and we get frustrated.
But that's our problem.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you we get frustrated too, because we can go cite somebody, they can go put them in. There was a kid that stole a car, drove it into a house, he was drunk, and all they did was, and not, it was Fresno PD, they cited him out to his mom.
Yeah, and it happened. No punishment. Yeah, over and over.
For the
drugs,
crime.
Everything.
So I can see what you're saying. It's not a perfect program. There is no perfect program. And you can only do what you can do. But Cecil Robles, this is his area. But I'm a big believer in crime prevention. I'm a big believer in Neighborhood Watch. I've been doing it a long time. I'm not going to say I know everything because I don't. But what I do know is that, you know, you light a fire and you're going to get people who are going to, eventually, they're gonna. I mean, all your concerns are valid. Valid concerns. You know, but one thing that I have learned is that you have a safer community when you have a Neighborhood Watch versus no Neighborhood Watch. Better to have, you know, 10 people in the whole community that are involved in Neighborhood Watch than nobody. So, I mean, we're trying to do what we can to help you guys out. And you have to understand that the Sheriff's Department has limited resources as far as deputies.
I think educating the community on that, because they think probably not too highly of the Sheriff's Department, because when something does arouse, they don't get here fast enough. And I understand you guys are low, very minimal, but the town's very visual, and I think as long as you keep and you keep, eventually something will break. I mean, but.
Yes, teacher.
I'm old school. I retired from the fire service.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on shootings, knifings, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing the dispatcher said, the scene's not secure. Okay, engine 3 is going to be staging at Biola and G
Street. Sure.
Well, you guys walk, well, not you guys, but the guy with the guns would walk in secure scene for us. So with that mentality, I've lived my life. I don't go into a dangerous area.
Of course not.
I let somebody else that can handle it better than I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So by using a phone, I think it would be a lot safer than trying to.
We don't teach confrontation. There is no confrontation. I don't care if she and I are arguing over a soda. What could that turn into? I could put on. I mean, people have pulled out knives for stupid stuff and stab people for a dollar.
My money's on her.
But my point is this. My point is that all you are, once you see a crime happening, or you think you see a crime happening, you're just the best witness you could be. That's boom. That's all there's to it. You get away from the area, and you call in, like you guys were telling the Petrolets. You don't get good reception. I know you don't, because sometimes I'll sit in the office with you guys, and I have my cell phone, and I'm like, I can't do nothing. Can't get no reception. So I'm thinking it's T-Mobile, but I guess every phone's like that.
Yes, sir.
You guys got to remember, too, with the advent of cell phones and stuff, which is what they're talking about. You said pictures worth 1,000 words. Every one of our phones has a camera. All you have to do is get a camera and go click and not even see nothing, just call it in, you know, and you would be safe because, and you know, license plate, oh, look how tall she is, she's wearing dark rimmed glasses, you know, it's all right there in front of you, and you don't have to do it. And that's a good point you make as far as license plate. People call in, somebody just drove by and shot at my house.
Okay, what kind of car is it, sir? Oh, it's a blue car. Or, ma'am, it's a blue car. Yes, the guy in car, they know mostly every car. Me and this guy have top cars every day. But most women won't know. I don't know. It's a little blue car. But the license plate, that's what's most important. Because, like, you could call a deputy, and it could take them, I mean, they could be in San Joaquin. So by the time they get here, the car's gone. But if you say, hey, it was a blue, a two-door vehicle, and he's going westbound on Shaw, he just, I know he's past Biola, and it license plates also. The deputy, when he gets to Shaw and
Madera,
he could see the car driving that way and see the license plate and say, oh, that's the car right there. And he's not even close to Biola. It doesn't matter, though, because the car, he already caught it over there. So those details, like he said, the license plate, very important.
And to add to that, too, I'm sorry, I mean, but to add to that license plate, by the time he's halfway from San Joaquin to here, the deputy already have ran on his MDT. He or she will have ran it on their MDT, will have all the information and the address of that vehicle where that kind of vehicle will be going.
Just go straight to his house.
And add it 10 times. Yes. Wait for you at your house.
Except for the car stolen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, don't say the car stolen.
No, I don't know. It'll be stolen.
You'd be surprised how many idiots know. These are all cars can be crimes.
So don't let the perfect get in the way of good runway. I still think it's critical to teach residents that there are still mechanisms, even without doing this, that they can actually empower themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I think some of are silly. They used to call it the comadre club. Women move. I hate to say this. Women move. Men don't.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, women move. But they're not so willing to say, I'll get on there, but
I just want to say I like your energy, and I think this is actually awesome. My thing is I just, you know, we love our community. A lot of us, I mean, we're a skeleton crew. A lot of us wear multiple hats here, you know, pertain to different organizations, and it's kind of always been a skeleton crew. So to kind of hope for something like that is great, but I'm just thinking, you know, can we make it happen? Is my concern.
Yeah, I always come in with a positive act. When I used to do my neighborhood watch meetings, I used to tell the people right off the bat, I said, you know what? This is not a complaint session. This is not the time for you to complain and whine and moan. This is a positive meeting. This is going to be positive. I said, either on board or you're not. You want to be on board? That's fine. You don't have to be. I go, but this is going to be a positive thing. And then they, you know, if they do complain, I'll say, well, you know, you don't have the right to complain because you don't want to be part of the solution. If you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And I let them figure it out. My job is.
You're good at the Facebook. Make a Facebook page where all the women here are on it, and everything that goes on, put it on, and
yeah. Well, what the Neighborhood Watch people do, and it would actually work here. It's old school, but what they would do, they would actually get the phone numbers of all the women and men, and the addresses, and everybody would have everybody's number, so they can call. And say, and then they would check on the viejitos. I don't know if you guys have viejitos that live here alone.
There's a lot of
me.
Yeah, I'm talking about viejitos. Come on. And then they would check on them and say, hey, has anybody seen Sally lately? Well, let's check on her. You know, I mean, we, I know Deputy Robles used to have some people over in Selma. He used to check on. I had a couple people in Fresno I used to check on, and yeah, just to make sure they're okay. They have no family. You know, they're in their 80s, 90s. Just make sure that they're, you know, didn't fall and break a hip or anything like that, and you know, they're still able to get around. Yeah. That works for that too.
I think it's another tool to create more call volume. Do I mention that earlier? Call volume, call volume, call volume. You see more call volume coming out of Biola? Then our tenant and our captain are going to say, what's going on in Biola that hasn't been, that we hadn't seen in the last 5 years? What's going on now? If we can get that going, we see the call volume, it's like, okay, we need to pay more attention. And
squeaky
hang out.
Wheel.
We need to hang out there.
Now. Squeaky wheel.
Not just run, not come right across the county. Right. We need to hang out there. That'll force the deputies to come on.
Yes, get rid of our drugs, man.
I've been on that lately. I've been.
Yeah, but they just move across the street.
Okay, well, I'm gonna. Hey, I got the okay to just tell them, you know.
How many people showed up to National Night Out?
You didn't advertise it enough.
That's true. We didn't.
Besides that.
And we still had 300 people. 200?
300 people.
And we could have had more.
So my point is, if you put it out there, right, people are interested.
Well, to be fair, we did talk to a lot of people who didn't go, were players, and there's no need to mention any names, but their answer to us was, I was going to go, but I was too busy,
yeah.
Or I had this, or I had that, and we understand that. You can't make everything, and that's fine, but there was a lot of people that we, you know, he and I hit up, and a lot of people that we talked to that were supposed to be there. Promised to be there, and they didn't go.
It was still about 300 residents.
No, there was a lot of people. I was surprised. I didn't think there was going to be that many.
Probably one of the better attended National Night.
I enjoyed it. I liked it.
I don't think Kerman would have had 300 people.
Well, I liked it. It was nice.
Yeah,
it was
like
nice.
Any of the communities that we grow, it's pretty.
I thought it was a great turnout.
I thought it was good.
You know,
too.
It wasn't advertised well. But somehow or another, people heard about it.
It was.
They showed up.
Well, it's. It helped.
I know I had like 3 hot dogs. I was happy with that.
Who's the one who was going around with
you? He was.
I was at Chef Casares.
Okay. My kids reminded me of
that.
I got my days mixed up. And so they heard it from you, and they were so excited.
That was his idea.
Oh,
he says, hey, he goes, you speak Spanish? I go, yeah. He goes, hey, can you go around the community? I go, I've done it before in other areas. Yeah, I'll do it.
I think that works.
Yeah, we had a lot of people were kind of like, what's going on? I found a drunk guy on the front porch.
Yeah.
Oh, he was dead drunk, man. Oh, my God. I thought he was dead. But
and you didn't take him in?
Well, part, if I can clarify this on the agenda, the Biola Community Services here are not asking you to be an official sponsor of this. I'm asking you as 5 leaders in the community to endorse its beginning, and I'm also asking you to each recruit some people.
We're not asking you guys to go out there and do it.
We want you to recruit people.
Oh, recruit. That's the thing, because I think it's an excellent idea.
But you guys are community leaders, and you're in the best position to go to friends and neighbors and say, and talk this up.
Mm-hmm.
And ask, you know, and the 18 years old. You saw the.
His secretary. Oh, well, I don't know.
You have to be able to drive.
What is the lady's name that works with
Florinda?
She's all excited.
Do you have to have 10 or can you have 6?
You can have as many as you want.
Minimum of 2.
Minimum of 2.
We need 2.
So they have to go together.
They have to go together.
They can't do all.
But you have to have a driver's license. You got to be 18. And then you have to be vetted by the sheriff's department.
Yeah, so you can't have any felonies or be a sex offender or anything.
Well, I emailed Lieutenant Curtis.
Work together.
Excuse me?
You need to work together.
I will not work with you.
Let's have clarity. Tell us what you really think. But I think we ought to. I think we ought to be able to recruit a dozen people to do it. We tried to recruit some the other night at National Night Out. And,
you
know, Gabe said, hey, Gabe said he'd do it. Rudy, he's in. James Torres got volunteered by his wife. but I think we could some, my personal thing too, and I've talked about this before, we've got the new homes and Biola Village apartments that have only been here for 10 years. And It's my opinion that we should make a special effort to recruit people that live in that part of town to be part of this.
That'd be important.
And so I met with Maria at the Bible Village Apartments today, and we talked this whole program up, and I told her to start, you know, find somebody in the apartments there.
Yeah, she's very pro. She's very pro.
And let's see if we can recruit somebody out of there.
Yeah.
But not just there, also in the new homes. And so from a variety of parts of town, I guess is what I'm saying.
It shouldn't be
everybody from F Street.
Or if anything, get educated, and that way you pass that on to those that may be interested.
Yeah.
I mean, because it doesn't hurt for us to get educated on it.
Well, because the other thing that the Sunnyside people say is what happens over time is it creates this kind of culture, kind of like you were saying, is that bad guys stay away because this is Biola.
Because they know that you guys
and people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so they never know when the citizen on patrol guys are going to be out. And
it's a deterrent. It works.
So it's a deterrent. You're right.
You know, neighborhood watch started in Los Angeles back in the early 80s or something. And it's worked. And that's why they keep doing it. I mean, you're not going to do something if it doesn't work. You're going to be like, hey, we tried that. It doesn't work. They've been doing it for years. So honestly, you want my opinion? Neighborhood watch would be the foundation. And then your citizens on patrol would be just cream on the cake. That's the way I look at it. You need a neighborhood watch. Because they're also going to be watching, like he said with a comadre club. What he's talking about is you got people who you don't know, you know, you don't see them, but they're on the phone calling the sheriff's department,
right,
and they're reporting stuff. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the sheriff's department will not give your information out.
I know that.
They won't. A lot of people don't know that. They think, oh, I don't call because they're going to go tell my neighbor I call. No, they won't.
My brother's a sheriff.
There you go. That's it. But a lot of people don't have family in the sheriff's department. As far as you saying you guys wear all kinds of hats, I understand that. Me and this guy, we wear a bunch of hats too. We don't only do this. We do all kinds of stuff. So we're not saying we're going to be part of the CLP program and patrol with you. We're just trying to push you guys to do it just like we hope you guys endorse it and say, yeah, we want to do it. We're going to find people to do it. You expect you to do it. Well, you want to do it. That's fine. But, you know, I don't know. You look like you probably want to do it, but unless you want to go with you, man. So. You have to find somebody.
I was telling people my neighbor to watch me. I have a neighbor to watch me over at the Biola Village Apartments. And we do it like quarterly. And I tell those who attend, I say, look, you call it in or not, they're going to keep it. So the more you call it in, the less they're going to keep it, the less they're going to do it. The less they're going to do it because they'll be at your doorstep whether you call or not. So your best defense is to call it in and at least have the guys with the guns who can legally use the guns if they have to come and be here by your side.
You know, what you're saying is maybe we should have a town or community meeting of trying to form a neighborhood watch first before we... I mean, don't get me wrong, this sounds good too, but... It makes sense what you're saying, having a neighborhood watch first and then
build, you get your recruits.
And build, yeah, exactly.
To educate. And
well,
educate.
My thought initially was to try to have this up and going before the resident so that you actually have a float in the parade.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
A car in the parade.
Expose us.
I think that and don't get me wrong, I like your enthusiasm. I think that your goal to do that is probably a long shot just because once we give our supervisors the names, there's policies that they need to follow, and it's going to take time.
Right. I asked Lieutenant Curtis if it was possible, and she said she wasn't. She says, get the applications directly to Sergeant
Voisnot.
Yes. She will be the one who processes the applications. But I don't know. Is it backwards to do this first?
I kind of agree with this gentleman. Maybe having a community meeting for a neighborhood watch. And like you said, I think from there you can recruit people. Maybe. I don't think everybody's going to do this. Because there's a lot of people that ain't going to put a sign on the side of their door.
A lot of people ain't going to pass.
Now, would it be an option to do both? Let's say, for example, inviting your people over here, can we invite them, and then perhaps we can invite...
Frank and Gayne, Karen Courtney, Mason, okay. To the neighborhood watch meeting.
Yeah, I mean, or invite them here. Hall. Like, yeah. Can we...
Have a special meeting just for...
And then we'll get to kind of fill on, you know, get an idea of what you
and just discuss that one item only.
That's it?
And so we can advertise it.
You know what, also, I remember...
I'll give us time to advertise it, please.
Back, I think it was 2004, 2005, when I was working in area three, some areas, but Del Rey was my biggest community, one of my biggest communities out there. That was one of my CDBG grant areas. What we did is we went... About 15 deputies and all the CSOs that were out there. We all went to everybody's door step and we handed them a flyer. We asked them to fill it out what they thought the biggest crime was in their area, in their community. And we had boxes, we had like vandalism, even dogs in the street.
And that's one
we did that. Right? Gangs, whatever. You mark whatever you think. Give us the top three.
Oh, yeah.
And we got those. We collected that data, and it seemed to help. I mean, that helped a lot. Yeah. And I think that's even feasible in this community. It's a smaller than Del Rey. Something like that. You know, or if they come to that meeting, we could do that to them there. Okay. And hand them that flyer and say, what is your biggest concern?
That would be good.
What is your number, your top three biggest concern? Or mark all of them if you want to.
I was thinking, you know, we kind of did both, and once everyone was there, we would say, okay, you know, who wants to sign up for the neighborhood watch, and who wants to sign up for the control, but kind of incorporate both together.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, 2 weeks from now, there's an open
September 10th.
Right.
You know what? Usually meetings don't work with the people here. It's more like a hot dog night.
Well, that's what I said.
It's more like get the kids to come.
Thank you. Another mixer.
You know, if you get the kids, they'll bring the parents. If you get the kids to come, you get the parents. But a meeting, it'll never work. The parents are like.
Unless we had free hot dogs.
Yeah.
You have to bribe them.
Yeah. That's the only way that people understand.
September 10th is 2 weeks from now, and it's an open Thursday night, and we could have not a BCSD meeting, but just a community meeting with ask the chamber, if the chamber would pick up some hot dogs for everybody, and and punch.
How about state attention?
But are your
Would you guys be available, Anthony?
Hang on a minute. Yes.
I just have a question in regard to neighborhood watch in your own community, your own area where you live. On your block, do you know everybody on your block, just your block?
I do.
Would you be willing to invite them to a potluck?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the way it starts.
I got one. No, three of us live on the same block.
That's right.
But it's a great idea.
I know all the adults. I don't know the kids, name, but I know who they are.
Do all the adults know everybody else in that block?
No.
Does every single bus, every single one of those adults that you know everybody else?
Well, they probably don't know your name, but they know who you are.
My family who comes from Clovis recognize the neighbors. That's how united it is.
See, that's the neighbors right there. Neighborhood watch. That's what neighborhood watch is. Right? Successful neighborhood watch is that. All the neighbors know each other.
Well, you know, Jeff Johnson taught us that. Jeff Johnson told us that.
That's the difference. That's a success.
So all the adults in your block, they know the kids in your block.
Yeah. Would we be able to get your people here on the 10th of September?
Put that request in immediately. We have to, yeah. Our sergeant lieutenant, she would
advertise it properly.
Because she passes the word down.
Okay.
Tentatively,
we suggest that we have a community meeting on the 10th of September.
Sounds good.
Not a meeting.
And,
not a meeting.
It's not a BCSD meeting. It's a community conversation.
Potluck?
not sponsored by this
community mixer.
Community
mixer.
It's a community conversation about neighborhood watch and top citizens on patrol.
Community involvement.
And what?
And we're going to seek donations from some organization for the food, or?
Let's call it a town hall.
We'll figure that out. Free hot dogs, there's a long ways.
I mean, how much do hot dogs cost?
Not much.
No, it's not like it's going to cost you hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
I think you guys are all on board, guys. Know what you want to do, just need to figure out the mechanism to promote it.
What I would like to see too is everybody that's expressed concerns to express them that night.
To what?
But in a positive way. But in a positive way.
Yeah, no. And I mean this if I like to say, for you to step up and say that to them. We know this is how you feel. And when you step up, you tell them that. They say the community leaders do that. And then they say, okay, this is really serious. And now I think we need to connect. That's the psyche.
You know, the one thing is, there's a lot of, like you said, paisanos, they don't want to use the phone to call. I mean, maybe they can say, okay, I'm going to call Monique. Maybe she's not afraid of calling the police. Maybe she can do the calls for us.
Thank you. That is neighborhood watch.
That's neighborhood watch. Or she can, I can find Elaine. She can call for me.
And that's right.
I'm afraid of doing it myself. I can call someone else and they can do it. I can tell her the details of what's happening. She can call for me.
I'm going to call my comadre. One of my comadres is going to call.
We have the first comadre right here.
Or my comadre.
Yeah, well, but I mean, someone that they, like the lady that lives in the yellow houses on the other side of the school, she sees a lot, but she's afraid of calling. And my niece said, well, call me. I'll call. Just tell me what's going on and I'll call.
Because I was asleep that time. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I might have been a friend of mine. Call me and I'll still call.
Yeah.
Which they do that to you anyway. Right?
I'm trying to run away.
Fabulous. Fantastic. I think
that's where the...
There's some, we bought some flyers. I think they're English and Spanish. And it kind of gives you the emergency numbers, non-emergency numbers, narcotics hotline, ag task force, gang information, CHP, just different things you can call just for you guys. Come and grab one if you want it. Or
we'll photocopy them for the next
one. The office.
It's current updates.
Okay. We'll use it for the September 10th meeting if that calls.
Well, why don't we just move forward and just have this function in two weeks from now.
And make it happen.
And at that time we can... So I don't think we need to. Do we need to act on this?
There is not any action to take. Really, it's mainly kind of a consensus endorsement is what I was looking for.
Okay.
We'll just do that.
And got that.
We've got 2 weeks to put out flyers or whatever. Or you know what? The best thing to do is maybe mail everybody one something.
Well,
we'll post it.
You can do a cardstock really nice mailer for $100, and so plus the printing cost. But talking to the, and it goes to every single mailbox in Biola. Where our newsletters only go to people with accounts, so that means the 40-something apartments over there.
Don't get it.
It goes to, so we got a bunch of people that never see our newsletters. And so it's very inexpensive with this particular, it's kind of like an advertising deal. But the post office can let us use that system. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Make sure Mr. McGruff comes, okay?
Mr. McGruff.
So, are you going to be here for the 10th? So you can speak to the
I can be. Well, yeah. I mean,
that'd be great.
He has.
Why don't we have some?
He has an area that he's assigned to.
Yeah.
I have an area that I'm assigned to. But my philosophy is, if I can help him out, I'm going to help him out. And I know if he can help me out, he's going to help me out. So there's things that we'll do, we'll partner up on, like something like this. You know, it would be awesome to do that.
You know, see, because you said you speak Spanish pretty good, right?
I can translate.
I know how to speak Spanish. I do neighborhood watch meetings in Spanish.
Okay, because there's going to be a lot of people here that...
They're going to need Spanish
speakers. Yeah, they don't speak English that well.
Oh, yeah.
They understand Spanish a lot better.
Yeah. I used to do neighborhood watch meetings in Spanish. I used to do the Fresno Police Department. I know they still do, but they offer... they offered an academy for English and Spanish speaking.
Oh, really?
And you can go, and they would take you to the range, and they would let you shoot a gun, and all kinds of cool stuff. And one of my part was I would talk to them about Neighborhood Watch and what that is, how to participate, the concerns about, well, I don't want to call because I'm illegal, I don't have papers. We would address those concerns. We don't care about that. We care if you're doing drugs and you're using them and selling them, but if you're out there working the fields and you're an honest citizen, we don't care about that. We're not, you know, La Migra. We're not, you know, we're not Border Patrol. You know, we care about, you know, what's going on, you know, crime in your community. And that's one thing that they don't, it's hard to get through them to understand that. You know, you have to pound it in their heads that we don't care. If somebody robs you, call us. We want to know, because how are we gonna stop that guy if he's gonna keep robbing people? I'm gonna know about it. Just me. You can't fight crime if you don't know about it, right?
That's true.
That's the one thing that, you know, we teach. You know, how are we supposed to fight crime that we don't know is happening? Oh, officer, they keep stealing the... That's what Lane told me one time. Officer, they keep stealing the bird feeders off my front porch. Did you call the police? No. Why? I didn't think it was important. Well, they keep doing this. Well, did you call? No. Why? I didn't have time. Well, that's going to keep happening. Because we're not mind readers. We don't know what's happening. Though, like he said it best, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And if you guys are having crime, was it you... Who was it that told us about the drunk people? Was it Dwight?
It could have been me.
No, we're talking to him. You told us, but and then he told us too. Yeah. And we went over there. Sure enough, they didn't have no, but they were right there. You know, you could tell they were, you know, had been drinking. So we had one of our deputies call them, and the deputy did go by. And when he went, he says, you know, I talked to a couple of guys there. He said they had been drinking, and I didn't see a beer. I thought maybe they were hiding it, so I looked around, but I didn't see it. But see, at least we got the ball rolling. We got the ball rolling on that. And he was talking to, the deputy this morning about it. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll keep an eye on it. You know, I'll keep an eye on it. And that's another thing. When neighborhood watch, when you have a neighborhood watch, citizens on patrol, you tend to have a kind of camaraderie with the deputies. There's a kind of a brotherhood. You know, that happens. Because he's going to drive by, and he's going to know your neighborhood watch. He's going to say, hey, how's everything going? All good. Whereas right now, he probably drives by, you guys don't even probably wait for him. You know? That's just part of, it's just human nature. You tend to care about people when they're nice to you.
When he's driving.
Huh?
The deputy's always texting when he's driving, so he doesn't see everybody waving.
Don't rock his window.
I don't know if I mentioned earlier, and maybe I did, but the Kirkmazian, they're willing to come out and...
Well, we want to invite them to this meeting.
Right, but on a citizen on patrol.
Oh.
Then when it's actually in...
And go on patrol with
them. Yeah, go on patrol with them.
Show them how it's done.
Show them how it's done.
Yeah. Shadow them.
Just so, hey, no, don't do that. Yes, do this. Don't do this. Go here, do this. They will shadow them.
I'll take my wife now.
One last comment on Neighborhood Watch. That is the way to build community. You're not going to build community by having all people come like that. You need to do it in your individual areas, and your block parties are your best way. So,
National Block Party Viola Night.
Now, can you see if I can find that old form? And we'll hand them the form first. And if you don't fill the form out, you can get your hot dog. Or whatever food it is. Yeah. Right, sign the form or fill out the form first, and then you get your food. Alright, that might work, right?
Yeah.
We got here.
I think this group has made a good rapport with the citizens around here, and I think they'll bring quite a bit of people. And they like, the community likes what they see something good, and they're willing to come.
Well, we just need to talk it up. We'll see, we'll get the flyers out, and we'll get it in every mailbox, but there's nothing, no substitute like a personal invitation to people.
How do you guys mail out your water bills?
In the mail, I mean.
No, but I mean, you guys put them in an envelope and mail them to everybody?
Yeah.
Why not put a little flyer in
there? They don't read them.
Well, they don't allow you?
I think they're conditioned not to look at my newsletters. I write them, but nobody reads them. And we also miss all the apartments. Nobody in the apartments gets them.
See, that self-help area over there is not on our mailing list.
Right, oh, exactly.
They get one,
I'm only this much.
One in the net or a...
But, no, we can get it in everybody's mail.
Well, I mean, I don't think it would be that hard to get flyers and just walk and put one on each door. Maybe knock on a door and say, hey, we're having a meeting. I mean, I'm speaking out loud here, and I'm creating more work for him, but I'm willing to help him out. So, maybe we'll talk about going door to door, knocking, talking to the people and saying, hey.
He knows we're movers in this group, so he's...
Well, that's a great idea. I think a couple of different tactics would be most effective.
We did it for the National Night Out. We went door to door and had flyers.
Yeah, door to door on that.
Give away a free trip to Vegas.
I've always said that.
Everybody will
give a free TV
The bike rack
is
for
all of
us,
but we can raffle something off, too. It never matters exactly what it is. It's something.
I have a van out there we can take
All right. Well, great. Thank you guys so much for coming.
All right, you guys. Thank you. Don't forget those flares right here.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
sir.
D is
great. Sir?
D is 7:20 to open.
Open at 7:20? Okay.
Where are we?
On D.
D.
D, okay. Open at 7:20? Okay. Public hearing for resolution number 08-2015-3 for the 457 volunteer retirement plan.
Tell the people sitting here what this really is.
Well, it's not what I was hoping it would be. Some years past, the Biola District, Community Services District, passed a resolution that can never be revoked, that the Social Security system, that anybody on the payroll, 6.2% is going to be taken out of your check, and 6.2% of your check is going to be matched by the employer, and that's all going to go to the Social Security system. If they hadn't done that, then we would be able to pass this resolution that would allow us to take our own 6.2% and the district's match as employees and park it in another retirement system.
Like the post office does.
Other systems do. I mean, I'm a school district retiree, and I never... As a school district employee, it was a completely separate retirement system. So my only Social Security earnings are stuff I did before I was a teacher and between summers and that kind of stuff. So it's not going to be very much. And so this was going to be on here primarily for me. Because all that 6.2% that comes out of my check and is lost to me. I'll never see it. So, in essence, for every dollar,
$6,
or every $10, I lose 62 cents. It's not that big a deal. But because the district passed that resolution in years past, and I don't remember what year it was, but some years ago, they passed a resolution that wouldn't allow this to happen. What this resolution does, though, it allows me, Elaine, or Florinda to take advantage of some laws that are unique to municipalities when it comes to investing opportunities. And so all this does is it gives the three of us the opportunity to take advantage of this investment opportunity.
To put your money someplace else other than Social Security?
No, I don't have that option.
No, but this would have made that...
It would have. But this resolution here, it does not. It's a 457 is a separate retirement deal on top of Social Security that it avails us the opportunity to use.
So in other words, they instead of taking that 6.2 out of your check,
they still are going to do it.
If you take this option, you will get some more money taken out of your check. Is that what you're saying?
This option doesn't respond, is not connected with Social Security at all. Initially, our interest in this was a resolution to allow me to opt out of the Social Security. That was my main interest. But then when that can't happen, this is still another option for Elaine, Florinda, and myself to take advantage of some,
other
investment opportunities that are like an annuity, basically, or a Roth IRA, you know, so it allows me to take some of my paycheck and put it into...
So all it does is just redirect your Social Security into another area. The money that would have gone to Social goes into something else.
That's what it would have been.
Oh.
But that option is not available.
Okay.
So this option that's on the agenda, the 457, is not related to Social Security.
It's just another way of investing.
It's just another way of investing money that's better than I would, you know, that is unique because I work for a municipality. That's really it. And same for Lane, same for Corona. But, and so I put this on the agenda to so we have the option, basically, for some of these investment opportunities.
Would the district be required to put any percentage in?
No, zero. No cost to the district at all. So that's, in essence, all this is about. It just gives us options.
So that E's part of that, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
D is the conversation, and E is the resolution.
So you, what do you want?
I'm done, if you are. If you don't have any more questions.
7:25 to close it.
Okay, we'll close at 7:25.
So then we just need a motion to on E.
I make a motion we approve resolution 08-2015-3 for the 450 Voluntary Retirement Act.
Is that a second?
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
The 7:25 open of the next one?
7:26.
7:26. And this one is we're want to be good members of the special district. What does RMA stand for? That's our where we get our liability insurance?
SDRMA.
SDRMA, Risk Management Authority.
Special
District Risk Management Authority. They're affiliated with CSBA, and as are we. And they have an election. And I gave you the names and stuff. And after looking at those, I'm going to recommend the three. You vote for three out of the four. And my recommendation was to vote for the bottom three. The two incumbents and one of the new ones.
I marked it on your copy.
And she marked it on your copy.
What made you decide on these three?
Well, I had a bias towards the incumbents. One of them is a finance person.
Oh.
And that mattered. And then between the two new ones, honestly, it's been a week since I looked at that. So
where is that at? It's a resolution. It's just the one single.
Do you have the backup on the?
It's marked 6-F/G.
Slash G.
No, yeah, F/G.
So to me, it was between this guy, Robert Swan from Groveland, and Michael Wright from Los Osos, because I was biased towards the incumbents. And Michael Wright in Los Osos, his bio, his resume looked better, quite frankly.
I was looking at it on here.
You're
I don't have it on
the
list. I don't see.
I am.
They said
I am. I am. I am. And you know what? A lot of times, it's not rocket science. It's a gut feeling. You know, based on pieces of the puzzle. But normally, we get asked to vote for people that nobody's ever heard of, and you don't know anything about them, and last time we did this, we just kind of took a stab in the dark and picked somebody, and I didn't make any phone calls to check references or any of that, but just based on the written stuff. and I'm openly biased towards incumbents.
Quite frankly.
These guys are people that were experienced, and they looked impressive, actually, the two incumbents, especially the woman, Sandy Seifert Rappelson in Hurlong, wherever Hurlong is.
Hurlong Public Utility District?
Yeah. So anyway, the hearing is to discuss these options.
I don't see any problem with these three.
I don't either.
Good night.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Good night.
From Mendoza.
If no questions, close at 7:29.
Need a motion on the election?
Make an approval. Approval of resolution 08-2015-4, election of directors for to the SDRMA Board of Directors.
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No, I have the originals here. That was just for you guys to see. I have. Okay. We just need one signature. We all have to sign it, though? No?
Okay. No. Is it who? Is anybody?
No, just you.
Is that me or you?
It's you.
Okay.
I lost my agenda.
Isn't that it right here?
Oh, here it is.
We're on H, Ray.
My. H. Okay, Biola Chamber of Commerce, request for Raisin Festival donation sponsorship.
Okay, the Biola Chamber voted a couple meetings ago to donate $5,000 worth of community beautification in the form of benches and trash cans. Downtown Biola, G and Biola, near the streetlights. And so what we have to do officially is to accept them. Now, as part of that conversation, one of the things that comes up is you put trash cans in, somebody's got to empty it. And we pay Agamiro Carbajal to maintain the landscaping down there. And it is my thought that part of his work for us already would include changing out the trash bag and then dumping them in our dumpster here. And so, you know, then I assume that we would have to deal with graffiti or whatever, but the benches that we've selected are not graffiti proof, but graffiti resistant. They look pretty, they're solid. Dr. Trevino actually brought some photographs, so I think you ought to see those. But they're pretty high quality.
What is it? Is a bench wood, metal, or
metal?
They're metal. Are they can be bolted to the cement, or
yes.
Okay.
They better be.
Microbolts
into the concrete. Or otherwise, we'll see all the drunks with their own bench somewhere in town.
They move around.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the black one that the chamber had.
I can. Oh, you know what? What website was that? I'll pull it up.
The Bench Factory. BenchFactory.com.
Oh, this is also the garbage can?
Yes. That would be the style. And the reason why we had picked those.
These are metal.
Yeah, it's related to, you know, graffiti. And the reason why we went with black as opposed to wood or concrete or anything is, once they deface it, then it's hard to bring that luster back. But if it's black, you know, you can always, you know, touch it up or whatever. So that's why we had chosen.
Is that the paperwork?
Plus it matches the lamp holes.
Yeah. What'd you say, Philip?
Plus it matches the lamp holes in terms of the black.
Oh.
Thank you. find it. The bench finder. Okay, so you've seen them.
How many total benches is it? Are they four? Four total benches and garbage?
Four trash cans.
And where are you going to put them at? Where?
Well, you have to be determined, but most of the conversation was around the G and Bala Avenue area initially. I think that the group has aspirations to do more. But right now, with all the negative connotation, like all the drinking and learning in front of the school, in front of the store, there was a lot of conversation on whether or not it would be really smart to put them there first, because the only ones who probably would be using them would be the ones that are down there drinking. So if we continue to push the Sheriff's Department for compliancy, because drinking in public is illegal and being intoxicated in public is illegal, until we get the Sheriff's Department to actually enforce that, or with the Citizen Patrol or the neighborhood watch, you know, to call and complain, and also to hold the store accountable, because the store is selling the booze, and because they don't allow them to drink in front of the store, but they own the property across the street, that's not necessarily complying with the law either. So until that becomes not acceptable, then we'll probably start to branch down in that area. But I think that's the overall goal and mindset.
I think people need to call more. You know, I mean, I've called in the past when you see, I mean, I'm not saying that I've never had a beer in front of a store when I was younger, but I never got drunk or urinated in the street.
Or stayed out there every day, all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
It's the same offenders for the most part.
What we had talked about at the meeting on Monday was to go ahead and purchase them, get them here, and then just like your home with, you know, your furniture, take them downtown. You know, say,
move them around.
Okay, I like it there, I like it there, I like it there. Okay, that's what we'll do. Okay, boom, you know. And then have them put in permanent.
Yeah.
You know, so nothing is in stone as far as where they would go. This is a start. And, you know, we've been working at this for, you know,
long time.
Quite a few years, and we said, let's do it. And our goal right now is to have them here and installed before Raisin Festival to show again the community that, you know, something's
that we've done something.
What's going on, you know, that kind of deal. So I don't see any downside, just a little training. But that's what, I mean, that's what this whole conversation was about.
I think the garbage cans are great. That'll keep crap off the ground, because I mean there's times that
hopefully
you see people, they come out and whatever they're eating, they'll just for some reason, I mean, they rather than walk 20 feet for the can or something.
You know, I was had a few minutes, I saw Philip, but I was cruising around over there kind of trying to look at things and get a bird's eye view of what was, you know, happening. You know, in front of the recycler, they have, I think, a trash can. They have this rack there, and all this stuff. All this stuff needs to be
moved.
Needs it.
So it is what.
And then, you know, this stuff will come in.
So, well, you know, that's something we can address with the owner there. Once we put those cans out there, to tell him he needs to move his, put him in or inside his fence line.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't see a downside.
No, I think it'll look good once you have the benches up and trash. I mean, it gives people a place to sit at least.
There's another, this that I showed you is actually from out of state, shipped and all that. That was the best pricing that I found. But Philip had contacted someone in Sanger, and they have some more of the decorative type stuff that maybe like to incorporate in the future. You know, the stop signs that were kind of look like the light bulbs that are there, you know.
Well, stop sign and a light.
Just things of that nature to kind of just keep slowly building up on that we're really looking
at. And also to help recruit additional potential visitors that want to come and have a business. Because if it looks upside down, who's going to want to invest in it? So.
Who is the secretary for Pacheco?
I don't know.
You haven't?
No, I haven't had any dialogue with the secretary. No.
Is still the same number?
No.
I guess. Yeah, same number. You know, it just didn't register.
But I don't know who his secretary is, but it's not Phil Larson.
Jim Barlow?
It's not Jim Barlow. He brought in. I can't remember her name, but no, I haven't had dialogue with her.
I think I need to make, what if we do the best of diamond? A quarter anymore.
Really?
Now what?
You know, as far as the request, I don't see any problem as far as the community, I mean, giving us what we've been giving. I mean, I don't see any problem only because Mr. Blum had talked to us years ago about it. I don't know how the rest of the board feels. I said I don't see any problem donating the same amount we've been doing.
But this is not about us donating. This is about accepting a gift.
No, on here it says request.
We're asking for the renewal for the same.
Yeah, they put request.
Oh.
We requested you accept the renewal.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, in your backup material, it is what Edith was talking about. It is actually a request for donation because if we did this next month, it'd be too late.
Oh, okay.
The chamber is.
That's why I said. I mean,
I confused.
As far as I'm concerned,
my bad.
Oh, all
right.
So we do need to actually make a decision on if we want to do so much and how much we would donate.
What did we do last 1,000?
1,500?
What was it?
Yeah, I believe it was
1,500. 1,500, okay.
I say we do the same.
I agree with that.
Me too.
We're receiving 5,000. I don't see a problem with that.
And more to come. That's
yeah. And that was the vote at our meeting, was that to do an initial investment, let's just say, okay, $5,000, what can we get for that? And we had always talked about the benches and trash cans, and that's how that all came about.
And the reason is that it's looking a lot better because Ramiro is doing so much also with his building, and probably the theater is going to be for sale maybe not too long in the future, and whoever comes in, the owner might do some good as well in that property, so things are looking good in that area. So I agree with Monique with the 1,500.
Is that a motion being made then?
Yeah, I make a motion that we donate $1,500 to Biola Chamber of Commerce.
Do you have a second?
I'll second that.
Those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
This is correspondence.
Of course, you want to go ahead and go to 7? Are you done?
How about the benches in the garbage cans?
Well, wherever you want to, you guys decide where you're going to put them at.
No, but then you guys needed to.
Well, we need to accept the donation.
I make a motion that we accept the donation from the Chamber of Commerce for the benches and garbage cans.
Can I second?
And probably assume
responsibility for them. There you go.
Right. That's the accepting the donation part. Okay. Assume responsibility.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Same sign. Motion carried.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank all of us.
I have a bunch of things I just want to blast through real quick, kind of in a random way.
Which this one?
No, just look up on the screen.
The light.
What happened to the 30 minutes?
Hey.
Told you it's never 30 minutes.
Hey, well, no, my fault.
He told you he owns your
baby. You know he likes to lie?
This website group that's affiliated with CSDA has some beta sites, and ours will look similar to these. All right, here's one. District down in Fallbrook. That one's up in River Pines, which is up by Sacramento, foothills. There's Lake Oroville. So they all have a similar kind of lineup, you know, who we are, board members, board meeting staff, that kind of stuff, what we do. And see, we'll fill a lot of this stuff in, but we'll take there'll be a link for board meetings. We'll take all of our minutes, convert them to PDF files, and download our minutes onto our website. So anybody that wants to go to see our agendas and minutes, And I think my thought was to just go back to January 15, not go back forever. We could, because our we have an audio file connected with everything, so we could actually download an audio file of all of our board meetings too, and someone could actually listen to, go online and listen to our meeting. But these are kind of standard deals, you know. These guys, let's dump these guys. Let's go to, but you know, a photograph. We'll have our logo, billing information. These guys have a little bit more. They have a whole section on policies and whatnot, finance, admin. So we can put, we can fill this up with a lot of information. Our plan is to hire a professional photographer to come take pictures of each one of you.
We already did that.
No, I'm kidding.
We don't want to go.
But but we did. My thought was to have a little section on board members. You know, these guys have. You know.
He wants a photo of all
who
of
the directors are, but just put a little. These guys are by separate divisions and such, but. Put a little bio on there for each one of you, but we can make this pretty nice. On ours too, we would have a whole tab on hall rentals, and under the hall rentals, we'd have, you know, all the rules, the calendar, you know, the rates, you know, steps, contact information.
Yeah, but that might change if we ever get into with the veterans though.
It won't. It's just a partnership.
No, yeah. It won't. And even if it did, we could adjust it because we control the content.
Right.
We fix it. So anyway, this is something that we'll, you know, I'm shooting for. It's taking longer than I thought. Here it is, August. I thought we'd have this out by May. These guys are just starting their CSDA company, and so we're one of the top first 10. Community service districts in the state to get on board.
What's the cost on this?
It's like almost nothing. It's like $50 or something. It's super cheap. And they help you with the building of it. So we are. We're going to be on the front end of some good stuff here. So that was one thing I wanted to show you very quickly. Another thing, I wanted to go through some Craigslist deals of the vehicles that we're looking at. $6,000 in Fresno, $5,500 in 06, another Gator for $3,750 in Visalia. We're also looking at a freezer.
What's wrong with what we have?
Don't get that.
The freezer
get
we have.
Stand up. Don't get that.
You want a stand up?
Yeah, not
what's
that.
What's wrong with what we have?
What we have is, it still freezes stuff, but.
But don't get that because that kind, it, you just throw things in there and it'll be a mess.
Yeah.
Do not get that.
So you think the stand-up kind?
Yes.
Well, I actually did a search specifically for chest freezers. So.
No. Okay. No, upright. Upright.
And if you're short, we're trying to get something out of the bottom.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. T.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Yep.
So how many cubic feet?
I am not going to clean that like that.
4 cubic feet, is that enough?
4.4.
You know what? You get some nice ones at Craigslist.
But that's $150, and on my Prime account, that means free shipping. So we could buy an upright account deal for $150.
You didn't tell me what's wrong with the one we have.
Yeah.
I want somebody else to answer that question.
The shelves come off. They fall when you put something on them. The shelves go...
Collapse.
It holds a bag of ice, and when you open the door, the bag of ice comes.
Wait a minute, Martha, yeah. How do they go again? Okay, I just want to make sure I got that.
Yep. Did you let them know that we got A-plus on the kitchen?
We had a health inspection yesterday and got a big plus sign. Yeah, it's all good.
So you can't stack nothing on the racks because the racks aren't. I mean,
you can't.
The edges are wore out already, where nothing holds anything up.
Nothing.
Well, there aren't any racks.
Hamburger patties.
There's no racks.
You put a thing of ice.
And it goes.
Bag of ice.
You're supposed to go like.
Fall down, and then it pushes the door open.
Yep.
And you show up the next day. Oh,
puddle of water.
But wasn't that the shelf collapsed? You go look at it. But it still works. but it's definitely not the
worst. It needs help.
The other thing on the to-buy list is an ice maker, and we're hoping to get some help from the VFW.
Unless you want to put a little piece of rope on the thing and hold it.
So you think the VFW would have any money for this?
Yes.
How big is that?
For that price, we could donate it.
That is a 28-pound ice maker. 28 pounds of ice.
Can we get it in writing?
28 pounds.
Produces 20 pounds of ice a day.
Can I ask what your purpose is for this? Just to have ice?
Just to have ice available.
You own an ice machine.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
At every event, we spend like probably $40, if not more, trying to get ice.
And we guys will steal yours all the time.
Because I just had it regen. So mine makes 400 pounds a day.
And 400?
Yeah, and on an event, we'll
all go.
It all goes.
It all goes.
So you're telling me this 28 pounder is not even worth getting?
Nope.
That's why I was asking you, what is your usage?
What
are you going to use it for? Because if you're thinking it's for an event, that ain't going to happen.
What size is yours that you have?
Mine is makes 400 pounds a day.
And how much did you pay for it?
I think we paid right around $2,200.
Will the veterans do that one?
This one here?
Will the veterans do that one?
Or this one?
No, this one.
That one right there that you were at?
This one here?
That one.
Yeah.
That's 300 pounds.
And ours is 400.
So yours is bigger than that.
But that's what mine is.
But it's also $2,900.
Well, I bought it, a few years back, too.
Craigslist.
It says free shipping.
Craigslist.
For something like that, I'd be afraid to get it on Craigslist. I mean,
sometimes restaurants don't make it, and they gotta have them when they open.
Then what you gotta do is like go down to Cresco or something like that and
Maytown,
see if they have any.
Mantown, down the bottom, the left hand side.
This one?
Yeah. What's?
Manifold.
I mean, what function would this board use it for anyway? Usually, when they rent this hall, they bring their own ice anyway.
Well, you could sell them the ice.
Yeah.
$1,800.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, but the freezer has to be a stand-up.
Okay.
The freezer.
So what's more important,
freezer more priority than the ice maker.
Freezer.
Okay.
Yeah. Myself.
I have a question on the freezer. I'm just being a MacGyver type of guy.
A what kind of guy?
MacGyver.
Okay.
Depending on how good the freezer is, would it behoove you to have a shelving frame made that you can insert in there?
It's not really deep enough either.
I don't know.
You're talking about the one we have.
Yeah.
It just put shelves. Well, we have a MacGyver that works for us, so we can put it in.
I was just wondering, you could say,
if
it worked.
It's too small.
If it doesn't work?
It's too small? I don't think it's going to be any bigger.
How big is it? Well, it's worked so far. I mean, we never had issues.
4.4 cubic feet.
What's the one you got now?
I don't know. It's about the same.
I may be interested in buying it if you guys want to sell it.
The one we have?
Yeah. If it works. I mean, for the shelves, I'm sure
there's ice in there.
Fix the shelves.
Well, your husband's a...
Yeah, he knows how to do that, so I'm sure he can do that.
Okay.
I bought mine, and mine's a big one, and I bought it for $150 in Craigslist.
Mm-hmm. Bigger than the one that's in there?
It's a stand-up, it's not...
Well, it was the VFW quartermaster who was pushing
one
for the ice machine.
It's a big one, mine.
So...
I don't know about the ice machine right now.
I don't think
that as prudent as we probably would need a freezer.
Well, if they want an ice machine that bad, then maybe they should purchase it.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, I was just using mine as a reference.
There's a side photo over there on the left hand side.
Whatever you guys are good at, just give me the heads up.
Oh, you see, look at that one has.
No, mine has those, and then it has a drawer in the bottom.
That's a little baby one.
That's a baby one?
It's a dorm type.
That's a little one.
Yeah, mine's bigger than that.
Holy smokes.
That looks like a refrigerator.
That's 4.4. That's an office freezer.
That's a little one.
Yeah, it's a small one.
Oh, it's a refrigerator and freezer.
No, yeah, but you want more.
Excuse me. Okay. Anyway, we'll look around. But I just want to let you know that we're looking at this stuff.
I would think to probably consider fixing it first. I mean, if it works.
Yeah.
And then if not, then we can, if it would be our next option.
Okay. And then we'll let the VFW buy us a...
It's too small, because if you want, they want to put beer in, and they will, it's not big enough for the, when you rented it as an event, it's not big enough.
But they just use ice chests as the thing, though.
Have you seen that kitchen, when they use ice chests, all the water that you have on the floors? You're liable for somebody slipping that kitchen. That's the problem, that you have other problems come in when they bring ice chests in there. Then they open the bottom and the water comes out, and if you put cement in there and you're going to paint the cement, somebody's going to slip in there.
I'm just thinking we never had any issues before.
The flooring in there, we're in the process, when the health inspector was here yesterday, I asked her about it, and she said the big deal is the molding and also the finish. And so I called the health department. She said there's plan checker type people who have recommendations on the kind of molding and the kind of finish. And so my plan was to is to paint it and then seal it and then get the right kind of molding, approved molding, and then finish it off. Because, it looks terrible, obviously. And I like it looking terrible. So we're going to, but we want to do it right. We've struggled a lot with the floor, and we're still struggling with it, but we want to kind of do a once and for all deal in there to make it easy to maintain. But that one section, the reason we took the tile up in the first place is the tile was deteriorating in one place, and then that where the yellow met the white, the molding, it was all peeling up and collecting a lot of nasty stuff that was unhealthy underneath that peeled up portion. And so this will deal with that. So anyway, we should be able to get that done pretty soon.
So you're going to be looking into the freezer then?
Sorry?
Is that what he said?
Stain or paint?
He's going to look at see if we can repair that one then.
I do. I want to find out what the health people say first. I wanted to go over real quickly a couple other things. Let me close these out. I want to call your attention to this agenda that I left on your desk tonight. I'm going to a meeting tomorrow morning, and I've kind of talked about this before. But it's one of those things that you really ought to...
Do you have it on your screen? Is it a bit?
No? I do have it on my screen. I'll just put it up. Good idea.
Do you get FID water?
No, we do not. But we're an island in the ocean of FID.
For your lines?
Occasionally. Saltwassers get FID water. Occasionally. And they'll use it to water our vines. Yeah.
Okay, because if it's yours, you pay tax on it.
We don't. We don't get. I don't believe we get any FID water.
Yeah, you have.
Because like you know me, I have everything on
there. Yeah, I got it.
I still have to pay the taxes, even though I don't use the FID water.
Well. I'm still trying to figure all this stuff out. How our relationship works. But this particular deal is worth spending a couple of minutes on. Fresno area, North Kings, a GSA agenda. Now, GSA stands for the Groundwater Sustainability Act. That was passed the last fall and signed into law. And that started all these things. And the essence of it is that everybody who sticks a straw in the ground, we have two, and pulls water out is responsible to write a plan and submit it to the state for approval on what are we doing to sustain groundwater to kind of, as we stuff pull out, stuff goes in our ponds, you know, how can we put water back in the ground to balance out some of the stuff we're taking out? Well, we're regarded as too little to be our own GSA. And And so we are piggybacking on to the Fresno Irrigation District, Northern Kings area. And so Fresno Irrigation District leads this conversation, and they invite partners like us to meet with them to talk about this agenda. Now, Fresno Irrigation District is 250,000 acres in here, and we're a little island in this. City of Fresno's a big island, City of Kerman's an island, you know, so there's a few cities inside of FID, but we are down here in the middle of their irrigation district. Okay, so we're a partner by virtue of our location with the Fresno Irrigation District, and we're kind of dependent on them for our plan. Okay, now where'd I go with that? So tomorrow we're going to talk about some of this stuff. In essence, inside of not just Fresno County, but the whole Kings River Conservation District area includes not only Fresno County, but Kings and parts of Tulare, a little bit of Madera, over here on this side, a little bit of Merced County, because the water basin overlaps counties. You know, it covers multiple counties. And the state said, you guys can get your stack together, all you guys that live in the Kings River, San Joaquin River, Cahuilla River basins, and you guys decide who's going to do the plan and what you're going to say in this plan. Well, as it's evolving, in Fresno County, there's Alta Irrigation District, which is huge. There's the CCID, Central California Irrigation District, over here. Over by Reedley in the foothills is the Alta. Then you got Westlands over here. You've got the James Irrigation District. And you got the Raisin City Irrigation District here. So you got all these different districts, and all of them have boards and managers, and, you know, there's a lot of politics. And you got city councils, you know, and all these things going on. So it is not simple. But that committee that Brian Pacheco appointed me to are a lot of the players in this whole game. It's the manager of FID, the guy who is the head of Kings River Conservation District, the Alta, the Central California, the Westlands guys, the Delta Mendota, you know, all these different players are on this. And one of the things I'm finding out is the politics of water is very
intense.
Intense is exactly the word I was looking for. It's very intense. And people get pretty well, it's, I guess, more it's every man for himself kind of thing. People are looking after their own interests. So they're looking at all this stuff and trying to figure out what is in my interest. Cities, it's very interesting to me. That's something I hadn't even thought about. But cities like Reedley, Kerman, Fresno, Clovis, part of what's built into their charter or the health of their city is growth. Well, if you're dependent upon growth, and that's going to take more water out of the ground and screw up the sustainable groundwater plan, that's a problem. And then anytime you grow and you annex more territory, you got LAFCO that gets involved in the borders of all these things. So anyway, this is a very complicated and very intense and very politically driven deal. And little old Dwight, who rolls in there for Biola, is just kind of new to this whole game. And so I'm kind of going there with big eyes going, holy smokes. And FID is the 800-pound gorilla. They're big. And so they're good for us to be partners with. But here's the reason I'm telling you this is they were defined this Fresno area North Kings is going to be what we're part of in our plan that we are going to submit to the state. We're going to meet the letter of law because we're the little remora hanging onto the shark as it's going through the water. This is this meeting tomorrow talking about the currently the six GSAs, formation of this. You can have multiple groups, but a coordinated agreement with all the subgroups with the bigger group.
And when is this going in?
When? It isn't actually until next year. They gave us everybody time to really fight about it and process it and think about it. They're going to spend some time going over the law itself. And they already have a handout of this MOU, and we will be one of the ones who will be asked to sign off on this MOU. The DWR is the state agency, the Department of Water Resources, state agency. And the guy from the state always shows up at these meetings.
And on this MOU?
The Memorandum of Understanding.
Right.
Between us and the rest of the area people that are FID, Fresno Irrigation District, and the other agencies that will be going with them.
But what do we compromise with them, or is it?
I don't know yet. I haven't seen the draft, so I'm not really sure. But at some point in the future, I'm anticipating that I'm going to be coming back to you explaining that we're going to ask you to pass a resolution signing on to this.
It's like a partnership, isn't it?
It's like a partnership.
But we have to compromise something.
We don't know. We don't know. One of the, because this is a water use issue. Mm-hmm. It's all about managing the water that comes out of the ground and our ponds, putting water back in.
Yeah, but I'm
so
imagining
I'm not sure what we would compromise.
The bigger cities are one bigger part because we're so small, they probably going to say, hey, you need less than what we need.
And there's a lot of water underneath us.
Yeah, and I'm imagining they're going to say, hey, we want what you have because why is there a kid in there? In that hole? Yeah, there's a kid in there.
What was going on before this?
Nothing.
I don't know. Who had rights or who governed?
Every entity, every agency was their own separate entity.
I'm sorry,
What this does, what the law does, it's a little bit like the San Joaquin Valley Air Resources Board. You know, air doesn't respect any county boundaries in the same way that groundwater doesn't. And so when they formed that back in the late 70s, early 80s, whenever it was, they put this group together that had jurisdiction over a region. So this is similar, but there's much more these smaller units that cover every bit of ground. And there's a lot of parts of Fresno County that are not governed by any irrigation district. They call them the white areas on the map because they're not colored in. And no, but the county has, the Fresno County has responsive governance for all those. So if you're on a ranch somewhere out between here and Westlands, it's not governed by the irrigation division, you just got wells, then you're accountable to the county of Fresno. Anyway, sorry.
No, I was going to say that a lot of this stuff, these laws were passed without knowing how it was going to work.
Correct.
They didn't know.
We're making it up as we go.
Govern, all this stuff. They just said by a certain time, you have to have some type of plan in place in order to do what you're going to need to do.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's kind of a silliness to some of this stuff. I mean, sure, you got to conserve, but, you know, they talk about, you know, how are we going to build up the groundwater again and all this stuff. Well, they're not going to build up the groundwater unless their name is Mother Nature. No matter what reserve facility they build, if it don't rain, it doesn't matter. You know, so there's a lot of things that they're saying, but a lot of this too is, of course, to control the water and to get money. Okay. But now, what you were saying right now about, you know, what are we going to have to give up? Well, as Greg was saying, you're piggybacking on with the FID. FID is one of the bigger gorillas. Well, the bigger gorillas, they always get the better deal, so whatever they get, if you're piggybacking with them, then it would stand to reason that you would get...
We should benefit by our association with them, actually.
So that's more of how it would work.
But here's the other part. I mean, you talk about it, you know, Mother Nature. One of the things that these guys has come up is that we got 38 million people or whatever in California, and we weren't designed to hold that many. And plus the growth of ag production in California, is we've outgrown our capacity for water, and then we get 4 years like this. We really are in trouble. But they're saying you can desalinate water, and we have a lot of our California population lives on the coast. You can buy water from Washington or Canada, and you can store more water, build more reservoirs when we do have water, and then you can use less. And then the only other one, and I'd never heard this before, is that our forests in the mountains here, we have about 600 trees per acre. And supposedly a healthy forest is 200 trees an acre. So we have three times the thickness of trees than a healthy forest should have. And this time every year, a lot of it gets just burned up. And so some people are advocating going in and thinning forests. And you would save like millions of acre feet of water that wouldn't be used by forests that are too thick. Now, I don't know if there's environmental and...
Which environmentalist is on that one?
Yeah. Like so the likelihood of that happening is good, but sane, logical people are going, we need water.
And by next year, we will have 11 million less people.
Because they're going to get deported?
Not in California.
Well, if Trump passes away, yeah.
Anyway, but it's a complicated deal, and you guys are in a position to be aware of this. And so I was kind of kicking myself because I don't think I've spent enough time talking about it to you. And so I want to throw it out there.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
What's he doing?
Because I wasn't imagining.
What? What's he doing?
She wasn't imagining.
He came into his restaurant. The door was locked, but not shut all the way. So he pulled on it. It was open, so he came.
Oh, I thought I was back. I was like.
I saw him, too.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a little girl that hinged on.
Thanks a lot.
The only other thing I wanted to mention is just kind of a preview for next time is Elaine went to a really, really important seminar last week at Fresno State. We got on there because of Ishmael. And she and I even haven't had a chance to fully debrief yet, but the essence of it was using our authority as a municipality to improve our community with blighted properties. And there are several properties in Biola that are terrible, for lack of a better word. Think of the one over by Polycell, Mr. Myers owned that place.
Yeah.
The one right there on the corner of Biola and G.
And then corner of Biola and G. Well, there's funding sources available to fix those. Demo, to clear them out, but to impact. In other words, we have the power as the city to not tolerate broken down buildings.
Do you have to contact the property owner first to have him do
Absolutely.
It?
Well, I don't know all the details yet, but we're going to, Lane and I are going to get on this. And there's a cut. Those two are the targeted ones right off the bat. But brownfield money, and there's like Paloma or Patino or something starts with a P, another name of a funding source that we have access to make our town better.
Paloma. Good.
Let's Paloma.
La Paloma. Dove. So anyway, I just giving you a heads up that we're going to go after some of that and we're going to try to make an impact there. Yeah. I'm tired of looking at that building with no roof. And every time I go down D Street.
Can I ask you something? Did you get an answer for the backflow?
on the schools?
No, I have not. I got no response yet, so I need to keep after that. Yeah, good question. And then, I don't know if you had a chance to look at my note from tonight, if you had any questions about that stuff. Had a really good meeting with Jared and the engineers yesterday. Our next water project will be completely different than our last one as a result. We will be way, 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 way smarter. And then the other one, too, I talked with Jonathan at the county. Our E and G Street projects, we potentially could be ready to go to bid like in October. But the problem with that is that sets us up to where they'll be paving in December.
Oh, no.
And you don't want to pave in cold weather.
No.
And so what I will have to do is to write him a letter asking for an extension to start the project, go out to bid in, instead of October, go out to bid in January. And that puts us in a construction project where they're, it's all the way out to May or June before they're paving and we got better weather. So even though we were supposed to do it sooner, I just don't want to mess with it. And if we get all the weather that we're supposed to get,
that's for the 014, 015 CDBG funding, right?
I never remember which year it is, to tell you the truth, but it's the E and G Street project. I think it's 13, 14.
Water or sidewalk?
It's water.
Water.
Yeah. The last one he did is 13, 14.
So the one he's talking about is 14, 15 then?
Yeah.
Because the sidewalk is the 15, 16, isn't it? Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I said,
15 now.
15, 16, yeah.
I don't care what year it is. I just know what we're doing.
It just get mixed up with
right.
The years.
Two water got delayed because no. 6 months without a manager.
Well, that was this last project. This one has.
It was delayed. I mean.
Not the one we're on now. Not the G&E. We're on schedule for that.
This is the 14, 15.
Okay.
It's okay. That one.
Yeah.
Are you
I'm in SEM.
I had I never seen the end result with the application and the final proposal
on the sidewalk,
nor the dollar amount, nor any of the. So I think it's imperative that the group, your board knows exactly what it was, the dollar amount, how many letters of endorsement, the special effort that the two board members went through. To make it happen, and some of the dialogue that happened during that process.
I should get all the details from Chai. I stopped by to see him on the Friday. He turned it. It was due on Friday. He turned it in on Thursday.
The 7th.
But he turned it in on the 6th.
Oh, did he?
Because I showed up on the 7th to make sure he was going to turn it in. And he goes, "Yeah, we did it yesterday." And we had 12 letters of support. Not bad. I want to say 600,000 in that neighborhood
for what now?
This is for the pathways, the sidewalks without curb and gutter.
Oh,
but that sounds a little high. It may not have been 600.
I thought it was
7. That's going to be
700. Let me ask Chai and get an actual number.
Where the proposal is? Where was the final proposal?
Where the final? Well, they took off Fifth Street. There's no Fifth Street sidewalk. And so it's G Street.
And the reason why they took off Fifth Street is there's no drainage.
It would have made it worse.
Right. So.
But that was an important cog in the machine. But anyway, so we got 7th and east side of Biola Avenue and G Street.
But
the east side of Biola is CDBG, though.
That we haven't got yet. That's what we're applying for.
That's for the 16-17.
So if we get that one, that this other grant knocks that one off. We wouldn't do that.
But we can go after the 5th with the safe school route.
You can go another route, but not the alternative pathways.
Oh, no?
Well, from what I could understand, and I don't know, but the email that I saw, the one and only that I saw, was they leaned away from that because there was no drainage.
Okay.
And the funding would not pay for drainage. So before you can even think about it, the county won't actually apply for those funds on our behalf until the drain is fixed. Now, maybe there's some other funds out there that you can put in the drainage?
Well, our next CDBG application does have drainage included on the from the post office to E Street.
E Street.
That's the next sidewalk project, and it will include drainage.
On the east side.
Yeah. That would be huge. That'd be a really nice project.
When do they plan? Well, besides that, maybe I should let you finish. Did you have any other details in regards to that? No. When
post office to E.
I'll turn to the path.
I'm shy.
Oh no, I don't have any more data on that. I'll just email him.
When do we anticipate planning to start the project between G and E on the west side of Bile Avenue?
I can't answer that. I don't know. Let me check. He said we would find out on the alternative pathway one in October whether we got funded or not.
Oh, that'd be great. This year, right?
Yeah.
This year.
2 months.
Not next year.
Yeah, 2 months.
Okay. They move fast.
I just wanted to make sure.
They move fast. It's not like, this year, that. No, they move Remember, months.
You said government moves slow. Now you tell me they does. Move fast?
Mm-hmm.
When they do it, it's different.
Oh.
So the county's doing it.
Well, you're confusing me.
I'm confused too.
Are we done?
She has to go to sleep.
We're done. I'm done.
In the morning.
About a motion for adjournment.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
City should always make that motion. Move faster, baby.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same.
Charmer.
What about this?
Mark? I know he sold.